Peace, Die Hards. Welcome to another episode of the Dianics Podcast. We got Dire State of Mind today. We're waiting for State. State should be in a few minutes. He's getting himself together. I'm not sure if he's at work today, but he probably is. You know, he's got to find a spot, take care of some things, you know, before he comes on. But while we're waiting, man, so I just wanted to come on here because, you know, there's a lot of things happening. So you got the Spider-Man movie. They're talking about the multiverse and Doctor Strange movies coming out. You know, they're really going to go crazy with the multiverse of madness. There's another multiverse coming back, The Matrix, the original multiverse, you know, talking about perceptions and things of that nature, man. So, you know, all this ties into, like, to reality. You know, the reality is everything that's going on outside of the Knicks, the basketball, the whole podcast thing. Everything going outside of that, that's our reality, the reality that we perceive, you know, between our own eyes and in our mind and in our body and things of that nature, whatever you believe. So I just was thinking about it, you know, just watching Twitter, the stuff that people put out, the poison. Shout out to the Queen's Court. Steph was talking about how it was just too toxic. She can't be on Twitter anymore. She needs a break. A lot of people always claim they need a break, you know, that whatever. But, you know, it's really just the negativity that's, you know, poison in your mind and stuff. So, you know, if I could bring it back to the Knicks, you know, just everyone complaining about Julius Randle every single night. You know, they do it on Twitter, you know, they do it everywhere. They're always talking about him. You know, people talk about the playing young people. They keep talking about, you know, just various different things. They always want to complain about something. But, you know, when it comes down to it, right, it's really just how you perceive things, you know, how you make it alive by putting a battery in it, you know, the negativity, you put negativity, a battery in the negativity, it's just going to get stronger. You know, same thing with the multiverse stuff. You know, the Doctor Strange and What If, spoiler alert for anybody didn't see that. You know, that Doctor Strange episode, he basically consumed all of his different selves, and he consumed other magical beings into his own body to take on that power to make him stronger, right? So through him doing all that, you know, it still didn't make him you know, more powerful what's the name? Ultron. Ultron became all powerful as soon as he got those stones. He just got it to a higher sense of being. You know what I'm saying? So through Doctor Strange doing whatever he was doing, he still wasn't able to get himself strong enough to fix his own reality and to you know, just to compete against Ultron. He had to get help. He had to assemble a team. You know, he had to get help, like-minded people, people that do things that he couldn't do, you know, to for their talents to get together to be able to, you know, get to where he needed to get to, you know, and that's probably going to be, you know, given up in the whole multiverse of madness stuff, man. So I'm just saying all this stuff because, you know, it's just that we're more powerful, you know, we're more powerful when we use each other. So like the Knicks community and stuff like that, you know, like through the podcast and stuff like that, is bringing people together, bringing a certain type of person to the Dire Knicks podcast, bringing a certain type of person to other channels and stuff. But, you know, through the mix or whatever, there's always people out there that are there for the wrong reasons and stuff. So, you know, I'm just here to remind everybody that, that it's okay to you know, to be yourself, and it's okay to enjoy something just because, you know, it's okay to be a part of something that's bigger than you, you know, that's within, you know, the feeling and the notion of being a Knicks fan, you know. So that's really what this podcast is more about for me, man. You're talking about the Knicks protocols and stuff. I see some people want to talk about Rose and, you know, this is Tip's fault. I see Jay from Florida talking about something is Tip's fault. I'll mention that. It's Tip's fault. He's old. You know, he's always looking, he's always looked better than the rest. Dibs played my guy back to back a lot. Dibs is dumb. You know, so, I mean, just the different keywords here, you know, fault, you know, old. Always looked better, you know, just that type of stuff. My guy, you know, and you know, Tibbs is dumb. These are all action words and stuff like that, that are just cues. It's like spells that people use. Not, you know, not getting, you know, going at you per se, JJ from Florida, but just anybody in general, the stuff that they, the words that they use, they don't really understand the power in these words. And the words travel not just from ear to ear, you know, from mouth to ear. It travels, you know, energy wise, you know, as you can see with these podcasts, I reach people in the Philippines. You know, people in the Philippines hit me up and people from India hit me up and all kind of stuff just to talk about the same thing, Knicks basketball. So anyway, this, the word is extremely powerful, you know, with technology and stuff like that, with us able to project ourselves across the world. You know, we can even probably be picked up outside of this world. We don't know. You know, we don't know how powerful our words are until something happens, you know. So it's just a friendly reminder while State gets here. You know, State should be coming soon, man. He just said that he's getting his lab jacket. He'll be in 5 minutes. So we're waiting for him, man. So anyway, I'm always a deeper thinker. You know, for those that remember the audio podcast, I used to do audio podcasts. I used to always go on tangents and stuff like that just to you know, make people think. You know, because I have the, you know, I just have a mind that's always thinking differently. You know what I'm saying? So I'm always trying to figure out a way to unlock myself, unlock other people. And spread love, you know, spread love and positivity the best way that I can, even though sometimes you can get excited and the whole yelling and cursing stuff that I do. But you know, when if I do yell and curse like that or anything like that for people that complain about it, I'm not using it in such a way that I'm trying to hurt another person or I'm trying to infect another person with negativity. It's usually through a positive way. Yeah, man. So, you know, excuse the philosophy before we start, you know, because of course when State gets here, we're gonna really get into you know, this whole COVID protocol stuff, because initially it really looked like the Knicks were just doing it on purpose. You know what I'm saying? It feels like that every time somebody did well, COVID protocols, every time this happened, you know, they even Derrick Rose, I thought that he faked the injury, to tell you the truth. You know, so, you know, I faked the injury to get Deuce McBride out there, but then he got surgery and he's gonna be out for 8 weeks. So, you know, it makes me wonder, like, did he already need surgery? And he said, forget it. You know, these guys, I'd rather them play. So let me just take care of this nagging injury while I can, you know, and give these guys a shot to play. Because he might really, truly believe in Deuce McBride. You know, so, you know, the thumbnail that I made, you know, kind of puts as Tom Thibodeau with his hands up, like, you know, like confused, like what to do. He really is confused, man. So, you know. His State's explanation to everybody. Be there in a few, my guy. Walk into the other building. All right, so I'm familiar with where he works, you know, so he should be here in a few minutes. But let's get into what you guys are saying, man. We got this is a coworker of mine, actually, Jamal the Graffenried. He's a super Knicks fan. I never seen him without some kind of Knicks paraphernalia on. So shout out to you, man. Appreciate you checking in. David C, fire the GM, fire the coach, fire the trainers, fire all the players. You see what I'm trying to say with the words and stuff like that, all this stuff. It's negative, man. You know, it's negative. But you know, you could be negative and still positive. You know, there's a way to do that. You know, but you know, I know you're just joking around and stuff. You know, but I, you know, this the whole point I'm getting at, just the way that you say words could also, you know, create so much different fractions and fractures, you know, in reality, man. You gotta really be careful how you say things. What are you saying here, man? Yep, he's always. I mean, that's always been the case, man. Throughout time, if the one person goes down, next man goes up. You know, shout out to Derrick Rose. I think Derrick Rose understands that. You know, maybe he wouldn't have, he did some kind of procedure that he wouldn't normally do. You know, he just did it because he knew there's somebody there to take up for him, man. So, shout out to Derrick Rose for being who he is. That's another thing too, man. When we first met Derrick Rose in the Knick uniform when he was number 25, you know, he was involved in rape allegations and he was AWOL driving back and forth to from Chicago to New York. And you know, he went missing a little bit. You know, there's a whole bunch of stuff that was happening with him. You know, he didn't have his dreads yet. You know, he was a man becoming somebody. Oh, I forgot to send State the link. Lord have mercy. So, yeah, he was a man trying to become somebody. You know, so that's all part of being a man. So, you know, now this guy, Derrick Rose, is, you know, is that guy now. You know, it takes a little time. Some not everybody's on the same page. See, I didn't even send him the link. Lord have mercy. He should be here in a second. Yeah, man. Yeah, let the guys play. Derrick Rose out. They said 6 to 8 weeks. So, you know, he could be out as long as he wants. 8 weeks from now, that's like 2 months. So you're talking about December, January, February, the end of February, maybe the beginning of March. He might not be, he might not be back until then. So that's pretty crazy, man. So that's a lot of basketball to get through. So it's up to Tom Thibodeau. Tom Thibodeau has to figure this out. He's got to play guys, you know, according to, you know, need. You know, shout out to Kemba. We're going to talk about Kemba. I think Kemba might be the first thing we talk about whenever State gets in here. It's just crazy. Rose lost his cell phone for 2 months, and yeah, man, it's crazy, man. It takes, like I'm trying to say, like everyone has their own journey and whatever. If you want to talk about, like, you know, just to use the example as the comic books and things in that nature, said everybody has their own reality. You know, when realities cross is when we meet people. You know, and you know, when say you get married and make kids and stuff like that, that's when realities start crossing. You know, and then when it comes down to it, you really just have the perception that in your own mind about how to go about life and stuff like that. You and hopefully that whatever you learn from your parents and stuff like that, hopefully you get to a point where you'll unlearn it. You know what I'm saying? Unlearn it and learn something for yourself. You know, learn the truth. Maybe your parents weren't as the best. You know, or your leaders weren't the best, so you need to unlearn the stuff that you did learn, and try to learn other things to fill in the pieces in yourself, and you know, just pass that knowledge on to other people. You know, same thing with the Knicks, man. Like, you know, we all know basketball. You know, we have our own opinions and stuff, so it just takes a while for people to get the information together to be able to express it to others and stuff like that. You know, sports is a great teacher in this, you know, because through sports, you know, like, you learn leadership, you learn how to be around other people, you learn how to you know, use God-given talent, you know, and then use that to make something special happen, which is athleticism. You know, here's one thing I wanted to say too, man. The genius of sports, you know. Being smart, people always seem to think that they always think book wise, you know, smart is book wise. But you could be smart, you know, because your brain has to function at a certain capacity in order to make you react and do things that these athletes do, man. So these athletes are special people, you know, just in the same manner as someone that's a genius, you know, book wise. You know, they just have something in their brain that just makes them, you know, use those the talent in their brain to you know, make rockets and shit like that, you know. But the basketball players and whatever, you know, that though it might be God-given, the for somebody smart, book smart, that's God-given too, man. Because some people can just do math problems in their head like it's nothing. Some people can recite things like it's nothing. Some people could talk for hours, you know. Some people can't, you know. So that this is all of our gifts in our minds that we have to unlock. You know, so athletes, you know, shout out to these professional athletes, you know, outside of working out and stuff like that, a lot of this stuff comes so natural to them, you know, being athletic, not just being tall. Some of them are like that. Some of them are just tall. Some of them are just super fast for no reason, you know, but a lot of them, you know, the ones that are successful are the ones that you know, it really is like something firing in their brain to make them do these phenomenal things that they can do out there. You know, and you know, things like stress and stuff like that can mess all that up. You know, shout out to Julius Randle. Julius Randle's on a lot of stress, man. Last year, it you know, the Knicks weren't going to beat anybody. You know, nobody knew that they were going to win or do anything, so there was no pressure. So now you have the pressure, you know, of everyone's negativity that I'm trying to explain. You know, through Twitter and through these podcasts and stuff like that, through the negativity, man. That stuff can infect you. It can affect you. It doesn't have to be, like I said, through your ears. It could just be metaphysically, you know, in the atmosphere and in the frequency that we all live under. So anyway, I got deep on you guys, man. So we got to get the kid in here, Mr. State.
What's up? I love what you just said, man. I'm kind of glad you said that before I came on here, because I want to be negative, bro, but it's like I don't even got the energy no more for it. The season is just so disappointing from like a fan aspect, from the fan aspect, like, and from like a person who genuinely loves this team. This season is so disappointing on so many levels. You mean to tell me that? And mind you, dog, we haven't spoken a minute, just me and you, right?
Right.
So, you mean to tell me that you DMP'd Kemba Walker for 8 straight games, for him to come back and in these last 2 games he scores 20 plus points? Really? And I'm just disappointed, man. I'm disappointed. I'm so disappointed in Thibodeau. Like I'm at the point like I don't even care to blame the players anymore. Like, can we?
I don't know. There's a lot going on, man. But you know, with negativity, like you took it on yourself when you came in here. But I don't see you as negative. There's people that say stuff the same way that you say it, but they're saying they're coming from a place of hate and confusion, and they're trying to break people down with the stuff that they're saying. You know, like people that come from me all the time on Twitter, just randomly, they just come from me, start saying stuff, you know, and I'm like, yo, these people are trying to hurt and destroy. When you say stuff, you're speaking it out of love and out of passion. So it's a totally different experience, at least from the way that I perceive it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I see you coming from a different place. No matter how crazy you get, whatever, you know, whatever it's coming from, it's coming from a place of love. So, you know, that's why I appreciate you. And,
Thank you.
Yeah. So it's a whole different vibe compared to some of these guys out there that spew all that bullshit, you know?
And it's funny because we could, now let's start from, I want to start from this, right? I want to start from Mitchell Robinson and Kemba Walker real quick, right?
Okay.
So I watched after the game interview, and Mitchell Robinson, he talked about, you know, the team had a meeting, and there was a team meeting. And then Kemba Walker in his interview said, well, I didn't know it was a team meeting. What is going on here? What is that? What is that? Where's Randle? You're the team leader. Obviously, he ain't a team leader because Mark Berman been talking out his ass for the past 2 weeks. And I know it's getting bad when I'm agreeing with Mark Berman, bro. I know things is getting bad. And I know he reads a lot of the tweets a lot of us is putting out. So I read a Mark Berman article. He's talking about Julius Randle in the crowd. Who said that before? And it's like, I don't, people was coming at me, dog, and when I say negative, right, when I speak about Julius Randle, I don't hate the dude, you know what I'm saying? It's just that he's our best player, and what I want from him, he's not meeting my expectations. Maybe other people's expectations is different from mine, you know what I'm saying? Like, maybe I shouldn't want more from him, because I know he's a championship 3 option. So maybe I should just let him be lackadaisical and let him just stand under the rim while everybody else is hustling out there like Mitchell Robinson. I don't know. That's just I don't know. So, man, it's tough, man. And Thibodeau has been – yo, he's been so terrible this season, dog.
Yeah.
What's your take on Tibbs, man? How you feel about Tibbs?
Well, let me throw this at you. I'm thinking that, you know, just judging by body language, Kemba's body language in the beginning of the year was bad. You know, he had that first the first game against Boston was really good, but then as time went on, his energy was low. You know, you could tell that there was something was going. He was trying to figure out like what is going on that, and you know that one night, you know, Kemba Walker looks like he can't play anymore. Next night he plays good. You know, it's like from night to night we didn't know what was happening. So I think what happened was that there was a divide somewhere in the locker room, you know, because one side of the locker room wants to play one way and the other side wants to play Tibbs' way, you know. So, you know, it's a little thing. So Tom Thibodeau cut the head off the snake, and that was Kemba Walker, you know what I'm saying, by benching him it possibly, you know, cut that off a little bit. So now, as time goes on, Kemba is back in India now. Now Kemba's energy is way different now. Now he's back to being old Kemba. You know, so maybe this might be a Jedi mind trick by Tom Thibodeau, by cutting the head off the snake, you know, letting that fester. And then when he finally put him back out there, now look at him. He's back to being old school Kemba and stuff, man. So, you know, what do you think about that?
It sounds cool, but I feel like if I go along with that, I'm letting Tibbs off the hook. Yeah. I'm letting him off the hook. I can't do that. I can't do that. You can't sit Kemba for 9 straight games, have a worse record. You look worse. The numbers even show you're worse without him starting. For you to insert him because of COVID protocol? Well, I'm going to call it C protocol. That's crazy, bro. That is mind-boggling. And then, you know, I love Kemba Walker. He's doing the Lord's work right now. Because when I said MSG politics was real, people be like, oh, nah, you just making up narratives. So why the hell was I subjected to watch Alfred Payton for 2 years straight?
Somebody else
got to explain that. Huh?
There was nobody else, though. Who was going to start over him?
Yo, really? 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 You going to do this again?
Yeah, man. But what are you going to say? Frank? It was not Frank.
Start something. Somebody. Do something. Do something. That is no excuse. That's no excuse, dog. You letting them off easy. You got to stop. Leon Rose been kind of terrible. But I ain't even going to start getting on him yet. So it's like, I don't know. I'm disappointed, man. I'm really disappointed. And I'm disappointed. The main reason why I'm really disappointed is because they tried to scapegoat Kemba. And he's making Tibbs look like a fool.
Well, here's another guy, Mitchell Robinson. Mitchell Robinson also was benched. You know? Mitchell Robinson was the starter in the beginning of the season. You know, talking about complaining about his weight, complaining about this. He also on Twitter, on Instagram, is every night keeps going on his stories, posting cryptic stuff, saying stuff on Twitter, all cryptic like. But at the same time, if you check his numbers, he got games that he's getting 2 rebounds. He's definitely not double figure rebounds. The last game that he played against Detroit, he basically was bullying that team. There was nobody on that squad that was no taller than 6'7", 6'8".
Yeah, I don't take no stock in that. I don't take no stock in him last game.
Right.
Okay. It's funny how he criticizes his point guards. Remember the Instagram post where he said, you know, I'm getting cardio out there. I'm running and defending. He was calling out his point guard. He was calling out his guards, really, because we know it's not a narrative no more. It's not no invisible narrative anymore. We know Alec Burks don't really like passing the ball. We know Derrick Rose is really not a playmaker. But you watch the last 2 games, and you see how Kemba Walker just activates Mitchell Robinson. And Mitchell Robinson, he has 17 points, 14 rebounds, 89% from the field. This is his third career game with at least 15 points, 10 rebounds, 85% or better off the bench. That's the most in such games in Knicks franchise history. So there's value there. But you got to use Mitch. And how do you use him? Just like how Kemba Walker was using him. And, you know, after Mitch called out his guards, bro, you see how his guards got on the ball. You see how quickly and Deuce the very next game gets Mitch the ball.
Yeah, but you know Burks is really good with that alley oop play too, man. He gets Mitchell Robinson pretty good alley oops also.
But he gotta do it more.
I want to take it back to the quote that you said. Said Mitchell Robinson said that all he's doing is running and defending. My question to Mitchell Robinson is: isn't that what he should be doing, running and defending? Isn't that his job to run?
You don't
want to
be rewarded.
What's the reward?
Give me the ball. Let me score when I have a mismatch on me under the basket. That's how you reward the big man.
Nah, that to me is wrong. The reward is the W. The W is the reward.
Getting an
alley-oop is not a reward. That's just you standing there and the point guard passes it to you and because you're standing there by yourself, you know, waiting for a pass.
But that's not the point I'm trying to get at. The point that I'm trying to get at is your center will be more active if you're feeding him the ball. You get more blocks. You get more activity.
When you say that,
you get a spry Mitch. That's just how centers play.
Well, this center plays. Not only him, because Fournier is the same way. Fournier was like a flamethrower the last game because he plays off adrenaline also. He needs the offense to be ran through him too, you know, getting the ball, you know, in the sweet spots where he can shoot right away. That type of thing, getting to a flow. He's a flow player. So Mitchell Robinson, Fournier, all these guys are basically the same kind of guy. There needs to be energy on the court in order for these guys to be successful. So, you know, Kemba Walker, but you said that Mitch needed that. Mitch needed that.
Mitch ain't Evan Fournier. Separate those two. Evan Fournier is 29 years old. He gets paid $17 million. You give me one good game out of every 10. Don't put them two in the same category. That's why I disagree with that.
Yeah, but Mitchell Robinson the same way. He gives you one good game out of every 10. Same situation.
So maybe
and then both of those guys are successful according to what the point guard is doing. So if Kemba Walker is cooking, Fournier is usually playing pretty good. You know, and if a point guard is kicking ass, you know, Mitchell Robinson is usually you know, scoring a lot that game. And also when Mitch is getting all these alley-oops, all of a sudden he figures out how to rebound. You know what I'm saying? So these things are all goes hand in hand.
You know, he's young. You know, he needs a point guard. He's point guard dependent. He's one of those guys who, if you're getting good point guard play, he's very effective.
Right.
That's just Mitch. You get what I'm saying? So it's.
But how does that work for the team though? Because as far as the team, the team is looking to try to win stuff. You know, so it's not about satisfying Mitchell Robinson. You know, it's about him doing what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to rebound. He's supposed to run the floor. He's supposed to defend. You know, so if he's complaining about that's all he's doing, then you need to get the fuck off from a team. You know, that's my opinion.
Low key. I agree with you, but then again, I don't agree with you. I think low key is get the goddamn ball out of Randall's hands and let him stop playing. I don't need to see him bring up the ball no more. I'm done with that. Right. Three assists, six turnovers. Randall, I love the kid. He makes his game makes it hard for a lot of people to buy in. Pass the goddamn ball, bro. That's all I need. And let the point guard be the point guard. And stop looking like you're stat padding at the end of games. Like, I don't need to see Randall be up 10 when 2 minutes left and he keep jacking up shots. Like, stop.
That's Julius Randle. Not Julius Randle. That's Tom Thibodeau. There was a play like towards the end where I forgot what game it was, but you can clearly see Tom Thibodeau clapping his hand, telling, yo, ISO for Randle. So that's Tom Thibodeau right there. And, you know, like I said, that's the divide within the team because we don't just got Kemba Walker. We got Kemba Walker quickly. We got Bryant. We got Rose. You know what I'm saying? And we got Bird. We got mad guys that could run point guard actions for us. But we still got Julius Randle doing most of the ball handling. So, I mean, you know, if you want to, you know, bash Julius Randle just following the game plan.
Can I say something to that?
Yeah.
Mark Berman was talking. He's talking recently, and he said Julius Randle looked like the one who was most happy about the Kemba Walker mention. I'm just saying, I kind of think he went to management like, yo, that's not my game, man. I need the ball in my hands, man. And I think he kind of did that. I don't know, but when we was 5-1, Kemba was being Kemba. He was allowed to be Kemba Walker. Then I don't know what happened. We just went to ISO Randall again. So, hey, call a spade.
Well, I don't think Randall did that. I think Tom Thibodeau was the one that drew the line in the sand, trying to get control of his team, letting everybody know that he's in control. Because that's what Tom Thibodeau's been saying, you know, lately. You know, in his post games, he's just been reminding everybody, listen, I'm in charge. This is my decision, blah, blah, blah. He's been saying that the last few post games, just reminding everybody that he's the one in charge, not the players. You know, so I think, you know, like I said, I think him benching Kemba was a Jedi mind trick. At least that's what I want to say. Rather than you know, feed into that, you know, there's like issues. You know what I'm saying? Like somebody, you know, it's been said and posted a lot that there's like a, you know, the divide and stuff like that. There is, you know, you could clearly see there's a divide, but I don't want to fuel. I don't want to put fuel onto that. You know, let's you know, the positives, whatever, through Kemba, the way that he's playing, him playing the way he's playing was positive impacting Mitch. It also positively impact Fournier and Julius Randle, because all three of them was able to get off. You know, excuse me, all four of them was able to get off in that game with Kemba Walker leading.
Yes.
So I think there's something that we can build off of, but at the same time, you know, we just saw McBride and Grimes, and those guys are playing good. So what did we do?
Yo, I was just about to segue and ask you a dangerous question that's been on my mind for like the past 2-3 days. What the hell is Thibodeau going to do when Deuce, Grimes, RJ,
and... Run wild on you!
So...
You sound like Hulk Hogan just now. What you gonna do when Russell ain't run wild on you? You know. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
How do you tell a fan base? This is where I'm gonna have my fun. This is what I'm gonna have the most fun when it comes to Thibodeau. And I've been Birdman palm rubbing for the past like week. How are you gonna tell a fan base? I'm not playing Grimes, and I'm not playing Deuce McBride. After Grimes hit a career high in his first start, and then Deuce McBride gives you 15 non-assists, zero turnovers, 4 steals. How do you tell a fan base we're not going to play those boys again?
Well, throw Knox into the mix too, man. Throw Knox into the mix too. Knox is playing good too.
Knox is gone. You know why I don't mention Knox, bro? We got to be realistic. He's in the last year of his contract. And honestly, I would love to see Knox over Evan Fournier and Burks, but that's just not realistic. So I'm just not even going to mention it. And I just wish him the best on his new team. I would actually trade him, actually. I would seriously trade Knox. I would trade Knox before the season over. Because what do you expect to do for him? To just ride on the bench? That's stupid. Trade him.
Well, what do you do if Kemba Walker keeps being Kemba Walker? What if he keeps dropping 20 every night? And what if Fournier and Mitchell Robinson keep getting fed the way they're getting fed? And Julius Randle is you know, not for nothing, Julius Randle was a lot more efficient the last game.
I still didn't like the way he played last game. To me, I don't know what's everybody. I like winning basketball, dog. I don't know. That's just me. He didn't play a lot of winning basketball last game. He need to show me more. That's Detroit. I need to see better from him. No excuses. No.
Yeah.
But here's the real thing. I've been thinking about that. The RJ Grimes and Deuce McBride and the Quickly thing. Because you're not telling me as a fan, yo, you better play Grimes. You better. I don't care what Evan Fournier or Burks do. When Grimes get back from that tonight, he need to be in a rotation. Figure it out. When Deuce get back, it's ridiculous. He can't play. No reason why he can't play.
Yeah, Derrick Rose is hurt right now, so he got a spot to play.
I didn't even get to Derrick Rose yet because that's on Tibbs. Tibbs the reason why he got hurt. Stupid idiot, the same idiot that got his fucking ACL torn. Cornball. Why are you playing Rose, bro? Why?
He's gotta play though. He fell on somebody's foot though. He stepped on somebody's foot.
That man shouldn't. How many games we played? Hold on. How many games we played so far?
I don't remember.
Derrick Rose should have played less than half of these games so far this season, bro. He don't need to play every game, bro. He don't need to play in back-to-backs, bro. I don't need to see Derrick Rose ever playing 30-plus minutes for the Knicks, bro. Like, ever.
The last game that he hurt himself in, that could have been his first game of the season. So what if he got hurt the first time he played? Whose fault is that?
That's on Tibbs. I'm blaming him. He worked them boys too hard. Damn, Nerlens. You got to blame Tibbs. Rose is hurt because of Tibbs, bro. You supposed to rest him, you goddamn idiot. You don't keep playing Derrick Rose. You got Quickly and you got McBride. This dummy 63-year-old coach thinks he's just going to live and die with Derrick Rose. He's 33, you clown. Give him a break. No. The NBA guys did. Say, you know what? Yeah,
the basketball guys, right? The basketball guys gave him a break.
Now look at us.
But, I mean, you know, it's a blessing in disguise now, because now you got Quickly and Deuce are coming off the bench, and they play good together. Now you got to play Grimes. Hopefully Grimes plays when he comes back, you know?
If you're Kemba Walker, I would feel disrespected. I would not want to play for Tibbs. You only claim me now if I'm Kemba Walker. And I'm going to play because I'm from the city. And if I'm a starter, if you're going to give me a starting position, I'm going to keep starting. But I have no problems with Kemba Walker anymore. This coach basically scapegoated Kemba Walker and inserted him back in the starting lineup, not because he wants to, because he has to. Whatever.
Yeah, you could say it like that. Or you could say that Tom Thibodeau benched him to wake him up. And now he's awakened. He awoke the beast now.
A 32-year-old vet needs to wake up and be benched.
Sometimes, yeah.
Name me the 32-year-old former All-Star who needs to wake up and got benched at 32 years old from his starting position.
I mean, you know, I guess I could, if I think hard enough or, you know, get a chance to study, maybe do some research.
I can't think of nobody, brother. You know why? Because MSG politics is undefeated.
Well, you know, Derrick Rose, he's going to be out all the way until Valentine's Day, man. So that's a long way. So that is, you know, the basketball guys gave him a break, man. So, you know, hopefully during this time here, that Deuce McBride is the guy that really could benefit from it. And, you know, I still would like to see Kemba Walker out there. The way that he played, you know, that he's been playing since he's been back these two games, it's been really good, man. So, you know, this is something to build off of, I think.
So, for the clowns who like to say, well, he shot the ball 20 times, you know, I don't give a damn. He helped us try to win. Like, that's all I care about. 29.6 rebounds, 5 threes, 21 points, 8 rebounds, 3 threes. He's the first Knick point guard with 50-plus points, 10 rebounds, 5 threes, and a 2-game span since Chauncey Billups in 2011. Bro, that was 10 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, Kemba Walker's still Kemba Walker, man. You know, last year he was an All-Star. You know, so, you know, guys don't usually lose stuff like that just coming off an All-Star bid. You don't go from being an All-Star to be a complete shit player. You know, so the guy can still play. You know, I don't know if he can maintain this 20-point-a-game stuff, you know, with the roster that we have. But, you know, I think it's good, man. I liked watching him do the stuff that he does. You know, him getting to the basket, you know, him crossing guys up. You know, it's beautiful to see him cross guys up. And the alley-oops and, you know, just the moving the ball, the extra pass, the cross-court pass that he does to find guys open. You know, so, you know, I think it's good, man. You know, it's just about everyone getting on board for that. You know, Tom Thibodeau has to believe in that, you know, and then, you know, allow everyone else to feed off of it. Because it worked. It worked. It worked against Detroit.
Yeah.
It worked.
Yeah, you don't got to – like, sometimes it's best to get away from what you're used to doing. You don't have to overcome – you don't have to overfeed Randle no more. When he plays in control, he's a winning basketball player. Uncontrolled Randle is not a winning basketball player. And you don't have to – and it's a detriment to him. Because now you got – it'll make him look bad, and now fans start blaming him. People like me start getting at him when it's really the coach just putting them in bad positions for him to succeed.
Yeah. And
you got people saying, oh, he's using R.J. Barrett like a 3-and-D wing. He is, and I don't like it. I don't like the way he uses Obi Toppin. That's just me. And he got a lot of things to fix. And I want to say baby steps, but the man is 63. He's a Hall of Fame coach. There should be no reason why it's baby steps with this roster.
But you know, when you're coaching a team, man, there's a lot of personalities, a lot of talent you got to mix in there. So it's not the easiest job in the world. But like you said, some of these things are like elementary. You know what I'm saying? How many times? I know you play basketball, right? I play basketball too. How many times did you ever hear a coach say, "Find your point guard"? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like when the play needs to be run the right way, you say, "Listen, what are you doing? Stop dribbling through your legs." Back in the days, the coaches used to tell us not to dribble through your legs. No spin moves, none of that shit. Nothing behind your back. Find your point guard. You know what I'm saying? What are you doing? Sit your ass down. You know what I'm saying? You know, because, you know, it's not your role. It's not your role to do that. Nowadays, everybody does that stuff. So things are getting kind of like clouded, you know, with the whole modern basketball and positionless basketball, which is all bullshit. You know, like people need to play their position. That's, you know, that's why people call, "Oh, we need a point guard. Oh, we need this." You know, but I thought we was positionless, you know, because that's exactly the way things have been going. But in reality, you can't be positionless. Guys need to have roles on the team, you know, like specific roles. Like the center needs to be a defender and a rebounder. You know, the wings need to be able to score. The point guard needs to be able to distribute, or at least be the lead of attacker, at least. You know, the power forward needs to help out, you know, rebounding and defending as well. So, you know, the basic stuff, functions that these positions have had since the beginning of the sport, really, you know, it's still valid today, you know?
So can I say this? I say you don't let the talent cater to you. You cater to the talent.
Yeah.
So what I mean by that is you don't try to – so we know what Julius Randle is best at, right? Going downhill. Don't let him think about what he got to do. Let him get the ball. He got to go. Remember when Anthony Edwards said about Carl Anthony Towns when he's like, Yo, when you get the ball and you hold it, the double team comes. Now you're flustered. Get the ball and go. You don't need to stand. So, you know, Randle, I just want him to get the ball and go. Maybe if we simplify his role even more, maybe eliminate the whole on-ball Randle experience altogether. Tell him move the ball. If you don't move the goddamn ball, I'm going to sit you. But we know Tibbs is not going to sit him. If I was his coach, I would sit his ass. I would have sat his ass a lot this year. A lot. But,
me and you talk about it all the time. It comes back to Tom Thibodeau, because if you got all these point guards, why is Julius Randle dribbling the ball so much? It doesn't make no damn sense. We got all these ball handlers. Even RJ could run the point sometimes.
Word.
You know, so why are you making the power forward, like, pound the ball? He gotta bring the ball up the court. Then he gotta get his own post position. It don't make no sense, man. It don't make no sense. It just comes down to that. I mean, we could talk for 3 hours about that alone. Like, why does that continuously happen? You know, but you know, like I said, with Kemba Walker's emergence since he's been back, you know, hopefully that changes stuff, man. You know, that's the only thing we got is like hope that Tom Thibodeau sees this stuff.
So I'm gonna give you a hood analogy real quick. For everybody real quick. When you go in the park and you playing 5-on-5, the person who got the best handle is automatically deemed the point guard. It doesn't matter who else is on your five.
Yeah. Yo,
he got the handle, give him the ball, let him run the offense, bro. We just make room for him. We cut, we do our job, we gonna win the game. Big stupid Julius Randle in the park going, "Yo, I'm bringing up the ball." No, you big dumbass. You gonna take this pick and roll, and your ass gonna roll to the basket. That's what you gonna do.
Yeah, but you know that's like an unwritten thing. Like, as soon as you get to the park, you see the guy got handed. Oh shit! You know what I'm saying? Let's go. Let's get busy. You say, like, you know, as soon as that guy shows that ability to do that, now you know you just instinctively know what to do now. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be much more easier for you to do stuff. But if you're playing and there's nobody on your team that could dribble, and now you feel like you got to take on that responsibility because nobody else could do it, now you're not having fun out there. You know, it's now you get that stress. You know, so I think that's what the Knicks are dealing with now. That stress, without, you know, like at least utilizing our ball handlers and stuff like that. But then the leadership in Tom Thibodeau is the one that's saying it's okay. You know, keep playing hard on defense. You know, keep playing hard on defense. You know, no matter what, how bad you are on offense, that's kind of not the right way to go about it.
I'm gonna commend Kemba Walker because he's a solid dude. He's a good dude. Shout outs to Derrick Rose. They're both good dudes. These both are legends. Now, I'm going to consider them both legends, man. I've been watching Kemba Walker since he was at UConn, since I was a teenager. Kemba Walker went to Rice High School right on 124th and Lenox. Like, I went to go see Kemba Walker growing up. I used to go to Watley on 114th and 8th. So I didn't see Kemba Walker. Like, he's a legend to me. Derrick Rose is a legend to me. These guys is, I love those two guys. You know why? Imagine a guy with a personality like John Wall. And Thibodeau would have benched him. How would that look? And how would he come off? He would act like a goddamn fool.
Yeah, he would have acted like an idiot. He would have had his peoples at the game, at the practice facility. All that stuff would have been happening. You know, it's a different thing.
So, I thank God he did it to a guy like, you know, even killed guy like Kemba Walker, man. Because that's frustrating, man. Randall looks stressed. That man should not. That man just got 100 plus million. My boy looking stressed out there.
Where's John Wall from, man? I'm trying to find that out.
I forgot where Wall from, man. I just know Wall cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, and he wouldn't be having that.
Well, I see North Carolina. Is he from North Carolina, John Wall?
I wouldn't know.
I see Raleigh, you know. Well, I mean, the point I'm trying to make, you know, is that, you know, Kemba Walker, when you look at Kemba Walker, his everything about him, just the way that he carries himself, everything like that, is straight New York, and straight uptown. He's an uptown dude. You can totally see that in his energy, you know, the way that he carries himself like that. Derrick Rose, on the other hand, he's straight Chicago. If you ever met anybody from Chicago, Derrick Rose reminds me of my coworker, man. He actually used to do podcasts with me. Jafin Aloha, he's from Chicago, and they act exactly the same kind of energy and whatever. So, you know, they just the old school guys from their part of the world, and it just shows, man. Like you said, thank God we don't have John Wall. You know, that's Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas would have had John Wall here. He would have had all these other retards here, and then everything would just implode. It would just been super crazy, you know.
Imagine benching a guy like Russell Westbrook. We better be lucky we got Kemba Walker. Now that I'm thinking about it, can we please talk about the whole Derrick Rose thing, man? I'm so devastated by it because he was the reason why we basically got to the playoffs last season.
Right.
When we traded for him, we were 11-14, and he's the reason why we got to the playoffs. So I just would like to know, like, how you feel about his injury and whatnot.
Well, Derrick Rose, you know, like I feel you with that. You know, just you know, he was basically like I don't know how to describe it. He's basically the catalyst that got us into being that winning team and stuff. You know, as soon as he got here, it kind of galvanized the team and got us to where we ended up. You know, the almighty fourth seed, like State always says. You know, so it's different. He was the battery for last year. So now this year we got to find a new battery. Could it be Kemba? You know, could it be some of these other guys that we picked up? Could it be Fournier? That's the beauty about the season, because that, you know, we have new pieces. We got to fit these guys in. It's gonna take time. You know, right now it's only December. I feel like we had so much season played out already, but it's only December. It's not even Christmas yet. Christmas is this week. So, like, traditionally, you know, every season things start to really go crazy around Christmas, around the new year and stuff. So, you know, teams go through the up and downs and stuff like that, but the true identity doesn't really kick in until that January, you know, until January comes around. So I'm hoping that's what happens, man. I'm hoping that this is just growing pains with the roster. Everyone's getting to know each other, trying to figure it out. And then I'm just hoping that through all the stuff that we've been through so far, that somehow these things start to pick up and we start to win again. That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, that's for sure, man. Damn, yo, my boss, man, she just blew my I gotta do her a favor. I really wanted to talk about the De'Aaron Fox subject. I feel like that deserves like 30 minutes, bro. 30, 40 minutes.
okay.
Because it's so many variables when it comes to that. Like, will the Kings keep losing? does Halliburton continue to look good? Did the Knicks make a mistake about passing up Halliburton and Cole Anthony for Obi Toppin? Like, it's so much stuff behind that. So.
All right, so let's do that. Let's do that next, man. So, what do you want to do as a closing thought, then?
I want to win, bro. I'm so tired of losing, bro. Like, I put out a tweet today, like, yo, just go get me Fox, man. Man, I'm sick because losing, what really is annoying to me. We're in the third year where I feel like we should be. I feel like this is the year where we should be catapulting off the ground, and it looked like we're still just floating. So I need the Knicks to string some wins together. I need the kids to get back, man. Nerlens and Noel, get better, but your services ain't needed for the rest of the season. RJ Barrett, get better. I just want to win, man. Win some damn games, man.
All right, so it's no almighty fourth seed this year. It's now you really want to try to get the fourth seed?
Well, me, the almighty fourth seed will forever be there because, you know, Scotty Barnes should be on our roster right now. I should not be looking at Evan Fournier. And I'm not going to let that feeling go for a while. It's going to be a while before I get over that. Only because I felt like we just skipped over a year of the rebuild. Yeah. I just felt like, instead of making the playoffs last year, I felt like we should have never made the playoffs. We should have went all in on the kids and tried to get a top seven pick. I didn't want Evan Fournier for $70 million, and I didn't want to re-sign Alec Burks. But that's what I got, so I got to live with it. So.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, that's a valid, you know, argument and points that you make for last year. But this season is different. This season you actually just want to – you really just want to go for it. You want to win.
Yeah, you damn right. We're in the third year. This is the season where, honestly, this was the season where I thought we was going to give RJ the keys, right? We're going to run the offense through RJ. I thought he was going to take that extra step to where he becomes elite on ball and off ball. That didn't happen yet. And he's loafing on defense after he got paid. I thought Evan Fournier was going to be way better than advertised. He stinks. He's not going to gas me because he outplayed Detroit. Screw him. No, I don't want no more French players being signed by the Knicks ever. Making sure Evan Fournier is the last one. Alec Burks is robbing us right now for 10 minutes. He stinks too. And he should not be playing over grounds. Like, I'm disappointed. You know, RJ stink this year. I'm disappointed. It's three bright spots this year. Four. It's Jericho Sims, Obi Toppin, Emmanuel Quickly, and my 2020 draft picks. My 2021 draft picks. And Quentin Grimes and Deuce McBride. Everything else has been – Mitch hasn't been impressive this whole season. You kidding me?
Yeah. Like I was saying before, him and Fournier are basically the same thing. They're not really doing what they should have been doing. You know, but I mean, that's the case for everybody on it. You know, have you ever looked at some of our old podcasts, especially in the beginning, you know, beginning of the season, how we were talking? We were talking about that Mitchell Robinson is going to be open the whole game, and Kemba Walker is going to do this, Fournier is going to do this, Randall is going to do that, RJ is going to become the next – this, that, and that. I mean, you both were saying that. We was going crazy.
I listened to one of the games. I think we was 4-1. I listened to one. We used to talk about 54 wins, and it was good vibes. Look at this shit. Yeah. Derrick Rose out for 2 months. I'm ready to lose my goddamn mind.
It was all good. It was all good like a month ago, right? God damn.
Ah, man.
All right, man. Well, we could wrap it up, man. We'll come back another time and really, really crunch that De'Aaron Fox topic.
We got a game tomorrow. Let's talk about that tomorrow, man. We can talk about that right after the game because I hope we win tomorrow. But, well, yeah. Obi Toppin comes back next game, so hopefully he shows me something, and hopefully Tibbs goes small because can't play Nerlens now. So,
yeah, RJ's playing too, I think.
Oh, RJ's playing?
I think so. I think finally, a lot of the guys coming back.
Finally. I miss the kids, man. I'm sick of seeing all these vets, man. They make me queasy watching the Knicks, man. That game, you know, yesterday, that was one of the toughest games I've ever seen from the Knicks, man.
You don't miss Dotson though? You didn't like seeing Dotson out there?
Dotson, man. Whole team. When I look at Dotson, I think of Fizdale, man. Man, I'm out of here. Yes. Yeah, man. Oh man. Dotson, yo. Y'all know where to find us, man, on Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, Play FM, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Alexa, AHA Radio. Yeah, you know what time it is, man. Kane, you know, my boys is coming back, RJ and Obi. But we're going to have a lot soon to discuss. I think Fox could be had, and the conversation soon will be, which kid out of RJ will you sacrifice? So, I know who you would, and you probably know who I would. But I don't know who the chat would. So, we definitely going to chop it up about that, though.
Yeah, no doubt.
But I appreciate y'all, fellas.
All right, Steve. Go make that money, man. Go wash your hands, too, by the way, while you're at it.
You gotta
fight that Unicron, whatever the fuck they call it. I see you. All right, man.
All right, fellas, man. Great chat, man.
Yeah, peace, guys. Bam. Four fingers to the forehead, tucking the thumb. Salute. See you guys in the next one. Thanks for tuning in to the Dietics Podcast. Hit the like on the way out, you rat bastards.